Now, we want to turn our attention to hurling because, well, it's been a pretty interesting week off the field, and it's going to be an even more interesting week over the next while as we finally get to grips with who is going to be in charge of the various counties. I'm delighted to say James Scahill is back with us. James, good morning to you. How are you?
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
How's it going?
It's a very interesting off-season so far, and the dominoes started to fall, particularly when Liam Cahill decided to stay where he was, which I have to say I was very surprised by, because it looked like it had all been set up for him to go back to Tipperary, and when he made the decision not to go back to Tip, that was like, okay, right, that's very interesting. So Colin Bonner is officially now the Tipperary boss as well. What do you make of those appointments and those decisions? What does it suggest to you?
First of all, I was very surprised by Liam Cahill staying at Waterford. I was on the show a few weeks back saying that, you know, the role is kind of had opened up from now that he was his time after having gained such experience in Waterford. And I was talking to a Tipperary player a couple of weeks ago, and he was kind of saying that they were sort of half expecting, you know, Liam Cahill to come on board and just transfer over from Waterford. And you know, when I heard the decision about it, yes, I was surprised like everybody else. I thought there was probably a 5% chance of him staying in Waterford. I thought 95% he'd definitely come over to Tip and come home. But I really respected his decision. I thought that it was a great show of, you know, I suppose, support to the players that's there and that he wants to stay with them. And then when you think about it a bit deeper, like he's going to have Pádraig Mahony and Stephen O'Keefe probably and Tadhg De Bruycke back next year. So he's essentially getting three. You know, he's essentially getting three All-Stars back, which, like, in soccer terms, is like getting three new transfers, you know, into a team that's already competed against Limerick, you know, pretty well in the semi-final for last periods. So I'd say he's looking at the Waterford position and going, you know, they're probably best positioned to take on Limerick, especially when they get back the couple of All-Stars. So, and what that created then, when Liam stayed in Waterford, it kind of created a bit of, you know, for all those neutrals, a bit of a hysterics, like, who's going to take over the Tip job? And then, obviously, Gary Egan started to get touted about, and then when he took over the Wexford job, that just threw the whole lot into disarray, you could say. So I'd say the Colin Bonner appointment, I wouldn't call it, you know, a flashy appointment. It's not a huge appointment. Like, what he does bring is extensive experience, and like, he brings, obviously, he's dealt with Waterford with Fitzgibbons, he's dealt with Ballyhale, you know, Ireland winning championships. Like, he's dealt with Carlo and trying to bring them up levels in divisions of league. So like, he's not lacking for experience. And like, I didn't actually realize when I read up more about him over the last couple of days that he's got massive academic qualifications also with numerous areas in S&C and management and whatnot. So I think it's a pretty, you know, it's a safe appointment from Tipperary. Probably it's a good one that they went in-house. I didn't expect him to go out of house, you know, and couple that with the Brendan Cummins appointment at under 20, it kind of, it shouts to me that it could be an element of natural succession in the 3 years, you know, that Brendan could, you know, go up into senior, a bit like what, I know it's not hot topic at the minute, but what Stephen Kinney did with the Mick McCarthy appointment, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that seemed to make sense at the time. I think it still makes sense. It's interesting that you bring that up. But the Bonner appointment, I suppose, it wasn't a big splashy appointment because it wasn't one of the names that we had kind of from 6 weeks ago gone, here's an obvious candidate. But when you start to point it out, like, what the track record is, what the experience is, the level of success that he's had, and I think particularly important, it's great that you have inter-county success, but it seems more and more important that you actually have Sigerson success, because that means you can speak to younger athletes, you have a proper understanding of the requirements of the work-life balance and the pressure that those kids are coming under to play for their counties, to go training with their counties, to fit that in, and then also manage, you know, different styles that they're coming to. That speaks to me of somebody who is perfectly positioned for a team that is transitioning a bit.
Yeah, you made some great points, and like, you've articulated it better than the way I would thought about it. And yeah, I fully agree with you, because like, when he's coming into a management role, let's say, to a team, first of all, that you know, be honest, they come off back of a disappointed season, but there is a dressing room there of proven winners. They're talking much more Ireland winners in that dressing room. So when he comes in, he's going to have to manage that. And I think the team themselves, like, we know it's not a flashy appointment, but for a manager, it's either respect. He's either respected or he's liked. And, you know, I'd much prefer a manager to be respected coming in. And when you look at his track record over the last number of years, you can't put respect to, because he's run it at most levels, in the sense that he's run it at a third level, he's run it at a club, and he's run it at a county. Like, so he's had a, you know, a broad range of players over the course of his career, going back, you know, 20-odd years at this stage now, when you consider that he managed, you know, JJ Delaney and whatnot in WIT. So, like, he's coached an awful lot of people. Like, he's been involved in the game an awful long time. As I said, he brings extensive experience, and I think he'd be well respected in Tipperary. So I think it's a good appointment, yeah.
I don't know what style of play it's going to be, or do we automatically associate a single style, or is it actually going to be a manager who comes in, looks at the threat of Limerick, looks at the available opportunity that he has with his players, and tries to meld these two things together?
Yeah, well, like, you know, again, I talk to an awful lot of people, say, in hurling circles, like, and they're on about, like, oh, if I was over a team, you know, if they were over the team, they would do this with them, but this and that, to take on, you know, the best teams. So if an inter-county manager is coming in, first of all, do you have the players, like, do you have the ingredients to go implement a game plan that's going to take on Limerick, you know? And if you do, like, you can take on Limerick up front, or do you have a group of players that need to play a certain style to suit them, to get the most out of them? And that's kind of the, you know, it's kind of 50-50 split, you think, about Tipperary. They've always and forever have played a more traditional style, whereas kind of like a 15-on-15, a bit like, you know, Kilkenny would have done, Galway would have done, over and over. And that style nowadays has proven to be unsuccessful against Limerick. So is he going to adopt that style and come towards more what I would class as a modern and contemporary type game, where it's possession-based, it's minimal errors, you know, and it's creation of space inside for your forwards? I think that's kind of the way they're going to have to go, because they have, again, as I said about the ingredients, they have the ingredients in Tipperary, where they've got serious pace and they've got great forward threats up there. And when you mix that with a good defensive system and good defence, like, you can keep it tight at the back and you can create space up front. So they have what you would say the tangibles to create, you know, a possession game that could probably take on Limerick. And it's only when we've seen, you know, Cork this year, where they kind of, they went away from let's say, you know, systems they would have incorporated over the last number of years, and went to a possession-based game. And again, in their first year, like, and I know the final turned out to be hockey at the end, but I think Cork made great steps, you know. They make great steps in trying to install the possession game, you know, stick with it, even though they make fundamental errors, they make a lot of errors, and keep going. And, you know, it takes a strong manager. So this, like, when you look at even whoever comes into Galway, and for Colin Bonner as well, it takes a strong manager to understand that if we implement a game plan, and let's say it's not successful in the league, to not abort or to not succumb to outside pressure because their game plan is not successful. You know, people are, like, Tipperary people and Galway people are like, are very impatient. They want immediate success. So if they lose a league game, they want to win the next one. And you'd have a plethora of people outside of the setup that would want to change things back to a more traditional style that has been proven to win in years previous, but it mightn't be, you know, the best game plan for the future. So pressure will come on the management teams to implement their game style, stick with it, and see where it takes you throughout the course of this season and next season. And he's got a 3-year deal, so, like, you know, the deal is desired, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he needs to be allowed to make mistakes. But.
Yeah, and look, there is a slew of young players coming through as well, so it'll be exciting to see what happens there. Did you expect the Galway situation to become vacant? Did you expect Shane O'Neill to step away after last year?
I did, to be honest. You know, I didn't think he'd ever... being honest now, I thought he'd never be pushed out, you know what I mean? I thought he'd always go on his own terms. You know, I do know, let's say, that a couple of his lecturers would have stepped away for family commitments kind of originally, immediately after the Waterford game, so, as they've got young families and a plethora of kids. So it was kind of left to himself and kind of John Fitz and Lucas. And, you know, then the way things transpired, I think just there was kind of a request for change in-house. And I think Shane just probably stepped aside and said, you know, let someone else take up the mantle. Because we spoke recently about as well, Ger, about whoever comes in is going to have to somewhat, I won't say rejuvenate the team, that's probably not the correct word, but he's going to have to integrate some new players, get them conditioned and get them ready for senior hurling along with the players that are there at the minute. So it is probably more of a task than probably, you know, are we going to be contenders next year? Yes, we'll always be contenders. You know, we will be. We're not going to be participants, but we'll always be contenders. But the Northern Tipperary, I do think, is kind of a 2-year process. You know what I mean? Probably 3-year process before we can get back to, you know, a serious contenders and taking on and looking to expect to take on an Ireland final against the likes of Limerick and whatnot.
And yet, it felt like they had certainly driven this Limerick team to the pin of their collar at in an All Ireland final, and it felt like they were built physically to take on Limerick. So why will it take so long, do you think, for the next manager, or why are you asking for time for the next management team to be given to take on Limerick?
Well, I'm being honest here now, okay? And you know, this might hurt some people's feelings in Galway, right? But what you have is in Limerick, and Limerick are the model now, and that's it. And we have to keep talking about Limerick because they're the standard bearers. They're like the Bayern Munich in Germany. Everyone's trying to take them down because they're the best. That's just the reality of it. And they're going to be the best in the near future because every player that comes into their panel, and we've only got a glimpse of a few of them now recently, are conditioned. And so we spoke about before, they're strong and they're really conditioned to take on senior hurling. So like they can have all the skills in the world and they can have all the pace in the world, but if they're not strong and conditioned to be able to take on, you know, basically a war of attrition nowadays in hurling, they're not going to be able to make a positive impact onto the group. And so I'm looking at, being honest, the last 320 groups, you know, they're not conditioned. So like our 320 groups now have to get, Lucas has to get his hands on them. That's the most, probably, I'll digress for a second. The most important thing for Galway in the very, very immediate, in my opinion, is to nail down Lucas, our S&C coach. Give him what he wants, put it on 3-year terms, and give him access to all the players so he can take them and condition them forward into senior. Because right now I see an awful lot of under-20s coming through and they're just not conditioned. They're lovely hurlers. They're stylish, you know, they've all the silky skill that we can associate with minor under-21 teams for 20, 30 years in Galway, but they are not conditioned like you see what the Limerick has coming through. Look at the under-20 final against Cork, and I was astounded, to be honest, when I saw the gap in physicality and size from the Cork players to the Galway players, you know. And like, yes, we can challenge, for probably the majority of the games, but we can't really overtake the likes of, you know, Cork and Limerick without having put in serious conditioning. That's why I say whoever comes in, management-wise, needs to be allowed a bit of time to get these players conditioned. It takes 18 months. You can be fit in a few weeks. You know, you can be fit, lung fit, aerobically fit in probably 6 to 8 weeks, you know what I mean? But to get a strength base and be conditioned to take on the heat of hurling for a prolonged period of 6 to 8 months takes a year, takes 2 years. And that's why you see Kyle Hicks, Jeremy Burns, Keane Lynch. And like, these guys aren't 30. They're in their low 20s. So they've been conditioned since they were literally 16, up to when they got the integration senior panel. That's the most important thing from Galway's perspective.
Do you get the sense that there is an overarching plan and a structure and that actually everybody in Galway hurling understands that if you work collaboratively, you're going to get to the point where you've got the raw materials to be one of the dominant forces? Or is it still kind of, let's go with this guy now and see what he wants to do, and then the next guy comes along and he's the messiah, and the next guy comes along and, okay, this is what we're doing?
Yeah, so like your question basically, are Galway reactive or are they proactive?
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
And like, for me, I have to say we're very reactive, to be honest. I don't think three things, like, remember I spoke about Limerick with Ireland, what you need, you know, for the portion of success. So like, you need all the clubs aligned together. You need all the players who are in symmetry with their management. You know, you need financial backing that's going to be able to challenge the big counties, you know. You need structures in place for the players, you know, for them to really thrive. And like, when you look at Galway, and first of all, it was a sin that we ever let Michael Donoghue go. You know, like a manager, like we don't win at Ireland's, you know, every year. We've won 5 at Ireland's in our history. You know, there's been 3 managers in the history of Galway that have won at Ireland's. And then when we get one that wins one in the most recent history, we let him go. You know, we let him go. And like that was a travesty, in my opinion, do you know what I mean? Because what he had was, he had huge respect by the players, huge respect. And he had the great ability to man-manage everyone, you know what I mean? And then also be nearly like your friend / father figure, if you know what I mean, off the pitch, which was a great balance. You were afraid to cross him, you know what I mean? But you could always go to him if you're an issue. And then I just think that whoever comes in has to have that same trait again. In Galway, I think the clubs dominate. I think it's club first, county second, in my opinion. I'm 33, so really me looking at it from the outside in, or inside out, should I say, I'm probably 15 years looking at it, and I've always seen that the clubs will dominate decision-making first. So if that's club structure, if club fixtures, whatever it is, that's always going to be the way it is in Galway. I don't think everyone's on the same page, whether that be on board, player, management, club level. I've never seen it, you know what I mean? And like, that's what's so frustrating, because we have all the talent and ability in the world that if we just all got on the same page, everyone, clubs, board, players alike, and, you know, if we could, I suppose, help each other out. Now, that's a broader topic that I can get into some other day, but if we could just all help each other out, not be pulling opposite ways like a tug of war, you know, we'll challenge everyone, no problem. But again, history shows we don't. That's why we're only 5 other islands.
It feels from the outside like you're in some kind of hurling purgatory where the sins of someone along the way were so grave that for whatever reason, the countless brilliant youth teams that come through, the minor teams that we would have watched in All-Ireland Final Day constantly as the precursor, and then the under-21 teams, and then the amazing club teams that come through, all this talent. And it's like, this guy's the next superstar, this guy's the next superstar, this guy's the next superstar. And for whatever reason, something happens and the team falls away, or maybe it is, maybe the conditioning is actually has always been an issue. I don't know, but I'm very interested to see, like, what you're saying, you kind of feel the same, that there's something lacking, some kind of central leadership has been incapable of bringing everybody together.
Listen to me, I'm not trying to say that, I'm saying that fully out straight to you. It's 100% a central system. Like, so I always say, if you're the managing director of a company, you know what I mean? Whatever decisions or actions are done by your staff is the directive of the managing director. So it's his kind of his direction, his vision, you know, his way of working is what everybody else kind of tries to employ. You know what I mean? And like, it's the same thing in hurling circles, and like you're at board level. Whoever's the main dog, right? If he's implementing academy structures and good fixture plan, let's say, for clubs, and everybody's thriving, you know what I mean? It's a breeding ground for success. But you've got so many different fractions, and you've got this guy over this part, you know, and he's not really talking to this lad over here. And it's just, you know, it's so broken. Like, and there's no real collective thinking. It's very, very individualistic, I think, in Galway. You know, I was talking to my brother-in-law last night, and he was telling me that he's coaching rugby in the schools around kind of Loughrea and around this area. And I was just thinking, geez, who's coaching hurling in our schools? Like, you know, and I was just thinking that there should be a fundamental plan put in at youth level, at the very, very basis, to capture youth. Yes, they're doing the clubs, but to capture kids who are anything from 8 up to 16, and to hold them and get them kind of obsessed with hurling like I was as a child, and to keep them going, because how many people are you going to be losing to different sports? Like, we have a couple of guys who run a minor team now that are really good players from like Sabanaso, a club who wouldn't be dominant, and they're lost to rugby now. I mean, why couldn't we capture those, you know, either in an academy structure or something like that to keep them going? And I just think there's not collective thinking in Galway, and until we come on board and collectively think as one, we're not going to be able to challenge every single year. Like, we expect to win every year. I don't know why we expect to win every year, because we don't. We have 5 All-Irelands in 125 years. You know what I mean? So I don't know what, like, people think about that. A minor and an under 20, with the greatest respect now, and Gerard Nan used this phrase before, they're dancing medals in comparison to the senior All-Ireland. You know what I mean? We all have, I'd say if you count up the minors and 20s in Galway, you'll hit a couple of thousand. You know what I mean? But you count up the seniors, you won't get past 100. Do you know what I mean? So, like, that's the size of it. And it sounds like harsh talk, but it's real talk, Jerk. You know what I mean? And until we can fix that and get real structures in place from academy right up, from strength of position and skills, we're going to be always on the outside, I think.
So you talked about Micheál Donoghue there. If he was interested, the county board, it sounds like, should be going on bended knee to try and get him back?
Go down with a bouquet of flowers, go to his door and say, come back, please. Like, I personally speaking, even though I've no involvement with the team, I would love to see him back, because I know how good he is. I know how well respected he is in management terms, and how well got he is around amongst, you know, supporters, and the way he's able to capture them, let's say, in 17 and 18. So even though we didn't win in 18, but he's a great manager. And I just think it's a bloody sin if we don't go about and getting the best manager possible for this group. And in my opinion, that's Micheál. Whether he'll do it or not with a young family, I'm not sure, do you know what I mean, how his position is in his professional life, I don't know, but I think every effort, anyway, honestly, should be made to bring him back.
Okay, the other contenders who have been mentioned, Davy Fitz is obviously the standout name in terms of track record and fame. What would Davy Fitz managing Galway look like?
It's kind of an image, like, I suppose I've been forced to imagine it over the last 10 days, you know what I mean? But it just doesn't fit with Galway. You know, I think when he went to Wexford, I think the county as a whole were looking for a bit of rejuvenation. I think that probably the team were looking for a level of professionalism and management that they might have seen before, and he brings those two things with him. You know, as I said earlier on in this, I don't think Galway are in need of rejuvenation. I think they're in need of a collective approach. That's why I went for somebody in-house who has the knowledge of basically everyone in the county. And, you know, I just think that they need to gain the respect. And there are certain ways, certain counties have certain, you know, principles and ethos. You know, I think Galway's kind of ethos, let's say, when you're in there, is kind of a real collective approach, a real kind of shared responsibility between management and players, how they're going to, you know, develop a game plan and develop a system and come together, find out the bad parts, you know, share their own thoughts, debate it, and then go in one direction. And I just think that's kind of not really in the David Fitz model, in my opinion. So that's why I'd be going for someone in-house to try and do that. Like, I don't think the Galway players would take, you know, dictatorship two-handed. You know what I mean? It's just the persona. Maybe something in the West. I know Anthony Daly wrote an article a couple of years ago saying that we were a strange bunch. You know what I mean? The Galway people were a strange bunch, and he couldn't put his finger on us. Like, so maybe that's the part of playing a tool.
Was Dalo saying that in an admiring way, or was it in a confounding way?
It was at the time whereby Shane O'Neill hadn't been nominated, and Micheál had stepped down with all the furore with the board and whatnot. And then there was that kind of purgatory period of whereby there was, you know, a few weeks, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 weeks, I don't know, of where we're kind of searching for a manager, and there was a collective approach between board representatives and players to try and find the best candidate. And that's when the article was released, and he kind of was saying that, you know, I think, I don't know, maybe I have the specifics wrong here, but he said that he was approached by an officer of the board, let's say, before Micheál had even stepped down, you know, which doesn't surprise me. And like, you know, that kind of, it was an odd bunch, there was no real collective thinking in Galway. Again, along similar lines to what I was saying a few minutes ago.
Yeah, and like, probably, it sounds like you kind of agree with them in a way.
Yeah, it's, look, again, and I said to you, it's harsh, and it might offend people. I don't want to offend anyone. Like when I'm talking about these people, I'm not aiming this personally at people. I am just saying it's a business, and that's the way you have to think of the county teams nowadays and boards at whole level. Like, it's a business that needs to be managed correctly, you know. So I'm not attacking someone's personal views or their personal life. What I'd be going after is their capabilities to manage something so large. Like, you're talking about a board now, a county that is operating in the millions in terms of turnover. Like, you know, so you're not just talking about some lad who you can pluck out of a sitting room and put him into a management role. You need someone who is strategic, who has a broad plan. You know what I mean? That's where you see all the terminology coming out of these counties now, where they're, you know, their plans and their Limerick put in a plan years ago with their academy, and now people are scratching their head how they're so good.
Yeah.
Sure, geez, like, you know what I mean? Like, they put their plans in place, you know, years ago, and now they're getting the fruition of those plans. And I would love to see that in Galway. I would love to see a concrete plan, a document developed that every club can follow, every person knows it's a uniform document, it's a central document that we could all, you know, strive towards. You know what I mean? And like, there's so many brains in Galway like that. There's great people in Galway that could do all this, whether they're in the business capacity or sporting capacity. And, you know, I would hate to see those lost to other areas, you know, or other counties even, you know.
Or other sports, as the examples you've given.
Yeah, look,
we're nearly out of time on this. Like, it doesn't sound like Micheál Donoghue is going to come back. That your instinct is that he probably is too busy at the moment, which will actually leave open the possibility of everything that you've said, that one of the easy fixes, the manager on the shelf, break glass in case of emergency, it might feel a bit like an emergency. Is it more or less likely that Davy Fitz, despite what you've said, will actually end up as the Galway manager?
Again, I find it hard to believe. I would strongly imagine that the Galway players would be consulted, you know, on who would be at least consulted. I'm not saying they're going to be decision makers, but at least be consulted, because we, like Galway players, we've been involved in, you know, our own share of what people call controversies when you go back to the Anthony Cunningham thing. But they were proven right. You know what I mean? The Galway players back then were proven right. As much as people didn't like it, and maybe it's a generational thing too, Ger, whereby people beyond their 40s and 50s don't like that they call this player power. It's not. It's not player power. Like, in years previous, you could call it that. But nowadays, like, you're talking to very, very intelligent people who have a really strong opinion and who've lived this life, let's say, in terms of pain, and they can see, you know, that when standards aren't set at a very high level, they can call it out. So that's not really player power. You know what I mean? That's just a realization that the setup's not good enough. So when you go back to the whole anti-economy situation, you know, it was extremely important that we came together as a group and we got change. When we got change, we got an Ireland. You know what I mean? So that's important nowadays too. So I think the players should be consultants. And I just don't think he fits the bill, if I'm honest. You know, and if the players themselves, if they decide collectively he does fit the bill, then I'll back them. I'll back him 100%, even though I'm not his greatest fan in the way he operates his business. Again, nothing personal against him. It's just the way he operates his own structure and management. But if the players back him, I'll back him. But again, I just can't see it. I just cannot see how we go to him. And again, financially speaking, his setups come with a, you know, with a price tag. And that's, even though it's not spoken about, not written about in correct ink or black ink, it's the reality. And we know it, and I know it, and you know it, that it's coming a price tag. It's coming a lot of effort to try and keep, you know, those people paid. That's the fact, yeah.
Okay, are there other people then who are obvious candidates apart from the ones that we've talked about, Michal and Davy Fitz? Is there somebody else that you're thinking, now's the time, it's your time right now to take this group and mould them over the next 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, well, like, there's wishful candidates and there's actual candidates, you know. Actual candidates, there's 5 or 6 of them, you know what I mean, that I get it. You know, that kind of way. Wishful candidates for me, and I know, like, and he shook me for this, because, like, he's one of my best friends, but there's a guy, Damien Joyce, better go, like, and the minute you say his name, I guarantee every player in Galway will know it. Hugely respected, and he's got a great brain. But I do know, let's say, from a family perspective, from a work perspective, time might not suit. You know, that's my wish. I would love to see him. I'd love to see Noel Larkin back in Galway to see what he brings to it. I'd love to see the likes of Franny Ford. Cyril Donlan is a great mind. You know what I mean? For such a young age, he's only 35, 36, but he's got a great mind. And, you know what I mean? And those 3 or 4 guys collectively, I know you're bringing back members of the 17 team, you know what I mean? But again,
well, it does strike me that's a very recent successful All-Ireland winning side. And if you look around the country, the age profile of management teams are getting younger and younger and younger. And so why not? Why wouldn't your group decide it's our time now, it's now or never? Listening to Andy Moran on the football pod, Andy's like, I'm 37, 38, it's either now or never. And I'm like, well, actually, you've got another 40 years there, Andy, where your brain is going to get bigger and bigger when it comes to tactics and stuff. Yeah. But like that. Chutzpah is right there for you guys now if you wanted to go and take it.
It is, like, you've got great brains. And that, I just said Jamie Joyce because I know him the best out of the lot of them, you know. But there are those people across the clubs. There's numerous people across the clubs that just need to be enticed out. You know what I mean? I think there's probably, there's a small bit of snobbery too in Galway about whereby, oh, they have to come to us to put their name forward. Do you know what I mean? Rather than we go get them. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I that's just, I don't know how, I can't explain why that
it's,
is.
It's not just Galway, it's Irish life. It's Irish life.
Like, he has to come to us. He has to come to us. Like, we can never succumb and go to him. You know, whereas I'd be up front, put your hand up and say, right, I want that guy. You know what I mean? Let's go get him. You know what I mean? So, like, again, you've got Jaycee. You've got Cathal Murray doing well with the Camogie team. They're in the final on Sunday. Don't get me started on that now with the fixtures clashing with the Camogie, right? And, like, you've got really good people. Brian Henley did well with the Minors, you know. So you've got Dave Morris is a fantastic brain. He comes from a football background, but is probably the best brain I have ever met in sporting terms. Do you know what I mean? And, like, these people are out there. Just go get them.
Okay. All right. It's a very interesting period of time where all of these jobs are up for grabs, and still we have Limerick over on that side. But Limerick did lose their strength and conditioning guy to Ulster Rugby, so maybe there's just a little chink of light for everybody else out there. Always great having you on. Thanks a million for joining us this morning, James. Cheers.
Okay, John.
It's always fascinating listening to James Scahill, who himself has a giant hurling brain. It's 18 minutes past 9 this morning here on OTBAM, brought to you by Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razor.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.